Progtopia presents The Five from Anubis Gate. Welcome to the new look, or at least new sound, Progtopia. I'm Mark Ashby, your host. Yes, it's been a while since I last posted something, but what can I say? The COVID-19 crisis and the extra time spent at home listening to all this great music, it got me itching to bring it all back. But if you've been a listener of previous incarnations of the show, I want to share what will be different going forward. The main reason that it became difficult to have a regular schedule, aside from my own life being somewhat hectic over the past couple of years, married with children and all that, and having a job, is that setting up times for the interviews that were a regular feature of the show were becoming, let's just call it, burdensome. And then because I'm just not the type to take raw audio and put it out there without polishing it and editing out the downtime and tweaking the volume and things like that, it's a lot of time to take for a show that I have no plans of monetizing because, frankly, this is not a side hustle for me. It's just something that I want to enjoy. I don't want to have to deal with ads and all the other stuff that comes whenever you try to make money from a podcast. So, while I certainly won't turn down an interview opportunity if it comes my way, I've decided that I'm just simply going to focus on the actual music as much as possible. So, with that in mind, I bring you the first episode of The Five From. In these shows, I continue the tradition of highlighting one artist or band, as I always have, but by trimming their catalog to five songs that I think best showcase what they're about. Or maybe it's the five that I happen to like best, or whatever theme I choose for those five tracks. Could be anything. Now, this will necessarily mean that whoever I spotlight has to have a large enough catalog to make this meaningful. You know, one or two albums just isn't going to cut it. As much as I love Sound of Contact's Dimensionaut, I'm not just going to pick five songs from it to highlight. And in order to keep the lengths of the episodes down, any tracks featured here will be under 10 minutes in length. And we're talking prog here, so that means that I'll be leaving out some songs that I might otherwise want to include. But the whole point is that I make this a little more difficult for myself. Now, I own no rights to any of the music that's presented here, and I'm going to provide links to websites and mention any other ways that you can support these artists by purchasing what they're selling, which I heartily encourage you to do, no matter how rich and famous you think they might be. Times are tough. So with that said, I felt it appropriate to have the first show under the new format to spotlight the first band that ever appeared on the program over 8 years ago, and that is Anubis Gate from Denmark. They're a progressive metal band with several albums and three lead singers, as well as a couple other member changes through their history. But one thing they've kept since their debut is a consistent quality of production and musicianship. I've had their guitarist Kim Olesen on the show several times. Kim plays keyboards too, I should mention that. And if you want to hear any of those episodes that spotlighted Anubis Gate before, you can go to progtopia.com and listen to them or download them from the archives, whichever you prefer. So I have my favorites among their songs and albums, of course, but as of their most recent album, as I record this, which is 2020's Covered in Colors, what five songs would I choose to play for you? What five songs are going to make the cut? Keep listening for The Five from Anubis Gate. Lost in common God, no one cares who won. Generation X, fighting all the battles as survivors rule. There's no waste of fool, ridicule, and scorn. Revolution. Lost in common God, no one cares who won. Generation X, fighting all the battles as survivors rule. There's no waste of fool, ridicule, and scorn. Revolution. Come on down. In their earliest years, Anubis Gate wore their Iron Maiden influence more obviously, But their first two albums, Purification and A Perfect Forever, were by no means, let's say, an attempt at remaking Seventh Son of a Seventh Son or Number of the Beast. The original singer, Torben Oskholm, was perhaps the most traditionally metal-sounding singer the band has had, and it was the right vocal sound for the time, kind of a Ronnie James Dio, if I had to just throw somebody out there that he sounded like. So if you take a song like the title track from Purification, you will hear those maiden-like touches, but the progressive element comes out in the lyrics and in the keyboard interlude partway through. So it's there. It's not just all metal all the time. And it's always interesting to me to go back and listen to the first release of a band when I had come to them later on in their career. I jumped in late 2000s, something like that, like 2008, 2009. And so often when you do that, what you hear is a group that wasn't sure of their sound yet. And they might have lyrics that are somewhat juvenile or just not well thought out. But that's not the case with Anubis Gate, I have to say it. Their style did change to an extent as they progressed in their career. But from the start, they seemed to know who they were and what they were about and what they wanted to do. And you can hear that on the first of the five from Anubis Gate. This is Purification. The two albums that followed with Jacob Hansen at lead vocals are the ones that I tend to come back to the most, those being Andromeda Unchained and The Detached, and those are both science fiction concept albums, and I love concept albums. Hansen's name is probably familiar to some people because of his production work for many of the best metal bands out there, and his production for Anubis Gate was a main factor in why I was drawn to them. So don't let anyone ever tell you that it doesn't really matter who produces an album. It does for a lot of people like me. Of those two albums, The Detached is the one that I prefer, although they're both great. And if there's a song there that epitomizes what Anubis Gate can do, I say it would be the track Pyramids. It's right in the middle of the album. From the start of the song, it's got this Middle Eastern-sounding trill that you'll hear shortly. You know that it's got something different to offer. And you know, that sort of cultural crossover happens a few more times on other Anubis Gate albums, like Covered in Black, which I'll get to later. If I had to guess why we hear that sometimes in their music, knowing guitarist Kim Olesen a bit as I do, it wouldn't surprise me if his love of the Beatles had something to do with that. You know, they experimented with Eastern-sounding things. Regardless, this is a song that uses all of its nearly 9 minutes to close out the first half of the story of The Detached, and it brings you on a journey of its own. The instrumental breakdown in the middle is simply incredible, especially over headphones, and the ending just leaves you wanting more, which luckily they give you in the second half of the album. All right, so here's the second of the five from Anubis Gate, Pyramids.
We'll be right back.
I'll admit that when I'm asked whether it's the music or the lyrics that I focus on, in most cases with most artists, it's the music. But that doesn't mean that I can't recognize a powerful set of lyrics when I hear them. In the self-titled album that followed The Detached, that saw bassist Henrik Ferro take over lead vocal duties full-time after being the singer on a few tracks on previous albums, like Take Me Home from Andromeda Unchained, for instance, I think Anubis Gate hit the perfect combination of memorable music and powerful words with the lead single from that self-titled album, and that's Golden Days. I'm roughly the same age as the guys in the band, and I can relate so much to the story that the song tells of a man who finds himself invincible when young and hungry for success. But as life begins to pass and the years take their toll, his influence goes away gradually until he's no longer invincible, but instead is invisible. There is so much to like in this track, and it is the third of the five, Golden Days.
I find myself. my golden days.
After the self-titled album came Horizons, but there are more than five Anubis Gate albums, so although there are some amazing songs on that release, having only five tracks an episode means I have to make some tough cuts. By no means should you skip that release or any others from them, as far as I'm concerned. But it's the next album, Covered in Black, that I want to talk about next. Covered in Black was born in part from Olesen's battles with anxiety and struggles with his mental health, which might be why certain tracks on it resonate so much with me. So I'm going to get a little personal here. While I don't battle mental illness myself, several members of my family do, most severely my older son. He's now 18, and he has been diagnosed within the past couple of years with bipolar disorder, type 2. It's not the manic type. And agoraphobia, the fear of leaving familiar places or even your house. Now, with proper psychiatric care, he functions normally, and he has plans to go to college and pursue a career in meteorology, actually. But before we figured out what his difficulties stemmed from, the rest of our family, we witnessed some truly frightening episodes through his adolescence. It was really tough to watch a lot of times. But he's gotten through it, and I hear echoes of those times on certain tracks on Covered in Black. It is definitely the darkest of Anubis Gate's album, as the title would suggest, and perhaps no other song typifies its depiction of the inner struggle that goes on in so many people around us that we just don't see because mental illness is an invisible illness, but that is typified best for me in the opening song. If it's possible to go inside the mind of a person on the edge of a breakdown, I really don't know that it could be depicted more accurately. So with that, here is the fourth of the five from Anubis Gate, Psychotopia.
Y'all!
The last aspect of Anubis Gate that I want to highlight is their proficiency with covering songs by other artists. The most obvious example of that is their recent album, Covered in Colors, which takes songs by bands as diverse as Japan, King Crimson, Visage, and AC/DC, and puts new and often surprising spins on those familiar tunes. Look no further than the closer, Strawberry Fields Forever. I'll give you a little taste of that at the end of the episode. But instead, I'd like to highlight a cover song that I don't believe was released anywhere else besides the extras discs in their Orbits box set from a few years ago. That set contains their first four albums, plus some rarities and covers and live and rehearsal tracks. Highly recommend it. Many of those tracks that are extra are covers, like Pink Floyd's Sheep or even the Bee Gees' Tragedy. That's an interesting one. But my favorite Anubis Gate cover version is from the Jacob Hansen years. It doesn't stray as much from the sound of the original as Anubis Gate sometimes does, but it's so sublime that I have to share it as the fifth of the five. You've probably already started to recognize it as I'm playing it here. This is Anubis Gate's cover of the Duran Duran classic and my particular favorite song by Duran Duran, Ordinary World.
Came in from a rainy Thursday on the avenue. Thought I heard you talking softly. I turned on the lights, the TV and the radio. Still I can't escape. What
So, with much wailing and gnashing of teeth as I narrowed it down, those are the five from Anubisgate. So if you weren't already familiar with this band, I hope this episode has made you curious about what to expect from them through a career that is approaching two decades long now. Their website is anubisgate.com, easy enough. And you can also find their albums, including that Orbitz box set, at nightmarerecords.com. At the moment, I'm fairly sure that the box set is the only way you can get physical copies of the first four albums without paying extremely high prices on auction sites. I've seen them going for, you know, hundreds of dollars. It's just ridiculous. Just get the box set for about $70 plus shipping, and it's worth your worth your money. As for Progtopia, now that we hope to be getting back to something of a regular schedule under this new format, you can go to progtopia.com for episodes dating back to 2012, and follow us on Facebook. I'll be putting some things up there, too. Next up, an American prog band with quite a pedigree and the musical chops to go with it. They've been on the show once before, too. Glass Hammer. Look for that episode soon. And until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again in a land called Progtopia.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to lose.